Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the show today. In studio with me this week is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis, and we'd love you to be part of the conversation today. You can call in your questions at 496-1999. You can email those to ask@wbaa.org, and you can also tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, I have to tell you, an interesting phenomenon for this week's show that we haven't seen in the history of this program, which is a large number of people emailing about a single topic that they want to ask you about. And this week's topic du jour is the Syrian refugee resettlement issue here in the area. Mm-hmm. So let me just get right to them. Chris writes in and says, with a diverse community of immigrants and students from all over the world, including the intense vetting process of any immigrant refugee to Indiana, do you feel the state should or shouldn't allow Syrian refugees or should deny resettlement to our community?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have married an immigrant who came from Ireland, and the process that she went through to get into this country was pretty thorough. And it's a system that we've had a great deal of confidence in for quite some time. It seems a little odd to me that we would start using certain instances of violence outside of our community to judge people who are trying to come in. For a long time, I've had the luxury of being able to travel around the world. And the American passport is almost like the golden key to anywhere. It gets you into any country. And yet, yeah, you know, with the tragic events of yesterday, we are aware of the fact that, you know, it doesn't take a specific group, a specific point of origin or anything for somebody to do something horrific. So I guess that's a long way of saying that, you know, in West Lafayette, and that's where I'm responsible for, we pride ourselves on being open, on being tolerant, on being diverse. And it seems a little disappointing to hear that we are looking at changing that because of some of the things that really haven't had that much of an immediate impact on our community.
You and I looked this up before this show, and it turns out that there is...
Don't give away our secrets,
that's
Dan.
Right. It turns out there is, according to records from Purdue University, mm-hmm. one Syrian student mm-hmm. right now at the university. And, of course, the president of the university has family who are of Syrian extraction. And so Mitch mm-hmm. Daniels has that background as well. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely affects this area. Mm-hmm. Let me get to the next question, which is from Sheila, who writes in and says, do you support our community welcoming Syrian refugees who have been screened in contrast to the action taken by Governor Pence and members of the U.S. House of Representatives?
I think that we have had a very long history of being a very welcoming community to all. Again, the process itself stands on its own legs. I mean, it's something that we've invested in as a country. And if we now say that there are certain groups who should be denied that process, and then as a result of a successful completion of that process being denied access into our communities, that really sends a questionable message.
So Sheila, I should point out here, is one of the organizers of a march and a rally that are happening tomorrow going from West Lafayette to Lafayette on the subject. We will cover that here in the WBAA mm-hmm. newsroom. Are you going to attend that rally or that march?
I am going to be out of town, unfortunately.
All right. So let me ask the other part of that, which they want to know about, which is they are also helping to forward this petition that's going around. And there mm-hmm. are a number of Indiana mayors of South Bend and Fort Wayne, among others, who have signed this saying mm-hmm. we stand in opposition to the idea that we should suspend resettlement. Mm-hmm. And they would like to know if you would be willing to put your name on such a petition.
Oh, I know. They've emailed and they've asked me on Facebook. And this is one of those things. We all have little oddities that are with our personality. And one of mine is that I just generally, as a rule, don't sign petitions. And I apologize for those of you that are going to be giving me petitions in the very near future. But the fact of the matter is that there's a reason for that. And unfortunately, if you're an elected guy and you sign a petition, your name all of a sudden becomes on the pick list. You get emails, you get texts, you get, you know, snail mails. You basically become inundated with any and every issue that's out there. And so when I choose to speak to an issue, I do it as we're doing now. I talk about it. I think the people that know me and that have only known me for 8 years know that If you want an opinion, you can ask me because I generally have one. And but when it comes to signing petitions and doing things like that, I'm very reluctant to do so.
You on this program, in a number of occasions, have stood in opposition to the governor of the state with whom you share a political party. Are you similarly opposed to Mike Pence on this one?
Yeah, I think that yes. Quick answer, yes. I think that we're looking at things from the wrong side of an issue. You know, I think a lot of times we look at a result of something and we see how horrific it was, or we look at the potential of something bad happening, and then we say, how can we protect our citizenry from something bad happening here? And the fact of the matter is that, first off, we're very fortunate to live in a pretty safe area. Our community is pretty safe. But a knee-jerk reaction saying, okay, you know, Stan, sorry, we're not going to let your folks in here, regardless of what process you've gone through, I think is just really... it sends the wrong message. Look at what we've done. Look at all the international investment that we've had, not just in Greater Lafayette, but in the state of Indiana. Look at our student population here at Purdue University. We are an international community here, and we pride ourselves on being an international community here. And by saying we'll take that group, but we're not going to take that group because of a political issue, I really think sends a challenge across the bow of our you know, of what we've been doing as a collective here. And I think that it sends the wrong message.
Is there anything the city or you can do or will do to try to appear more welcoming, if not signing the petition, which you say is a bugaboo of yours?
Yeah. I don't know what more we can do. You know, and I can speak specifically for me, I spend a lot of time working with, speaking to, visiting with groups from all around the world. You know, I have an international family. I was born in Japan. You know, we do everything we can to make sure that people look at West Lafayette and look at Purdue University as an open and welcoming community. You know, I mean, when we talk about our GLBT crowd, we do everything we can to make sure that diversity is something that we celebrate and take great pride in. And a lot of these issues, you know, when you look at it with history on your side, you kind of scratch your head and think, we were worried about that. So, I think that we do a lot here. We do a lot more than most communities. And we do so because we have that international mix and flavor.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. We're chatting today with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis, and we'd like to have your telephone calls. 496-1999 is the phone number. You can also email questions to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet those questions at WBAA News on Twitter as well. Well, let's move to a different topic. Sue has written in and asks, with the recent break-ins at a number of apartment complexes, do you feel, her words now, the riffraff from Lafayette? And we should say, we've pointed out on this show, Lafayette has a rising crime rate, including a rising violent crime rate. She says, do you feel that the riffraff has breached the shores of West Lafayette and are now infiltrating your city?
Maybe we can get the governor to act on that, huh?
I didn't say that.
The fact of the matter is that there are reasons why crimes happen. And a lot of that is strictly just opportunity. You know, a person who is in need, you know, their geographic location is oftentimes the least of our concerns. What we look for is we try and make sure that we do everything we can to inform our population. You know, we have had some issues in our community of late that have been somewhat unique to us. We haven't had that level of experience before. And part of that is because we need to make sure that our population understands, you know, just being a smart citizen, what it's like to walk around at night, to walk in groups, just your personal safety things. And the same thing applies for your residents. Oftentimes, folks will go through apartment complexes and they'll just rattle doors. And if a door pops open, you know, it's an early Christmas for those folks and they take what they can get out. But no, I don't think it's geographic. I don't think it's situational. I think that there are just certain times that it's easy to commit a crime and people just take advantage of that.
Do you agree with a statement that Mayor Rozworski of Lafayette made on this program a couple of months ago that the rise in crime is attributable to people coming into the area from out of town, from places such as Attica and Delphi?
I, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what he's using for his data, but I do know, you know, and again, I'm sure people are well aware, I worked in the Lafayette Police Department for 23 years and retired as deputy chief of police over there. And one thing I do know is that crimes of opportunity attract people from all over. You know, you're probably going to have more opportunity in Greater Lafayette than you are in Battleground. So it's not as though bad people are moving into the cities. It is more an issue of people just misbehaving because the opportunities have presented themselves.
On a similar topic, one of the things that's been talked about recently is the riverfront area, specifically in Lafayette. But there's talk about connecting, for instance, that to, say, Brown Street in West Lafayette on the levee there. Does that give you any pause when you think about the possibility of the city across the river with the rising crime rates being connected in another easy pedestrian manner to your city?
No, not at all. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we need to make sure that our belief system doesn't isolate and specify certain groups. They don't say that people are coming over from Lafayette to commit crimes in West Lafayette because we have 40,000 targets over here. The fact that our student population is relatively well-heeled, that they're going to come and take advantage of that situation. The reality of it is regardless of the area, if it's somewhat semi-metropolitan like the greater Lafayette area is, there are going to be people who exploit those that are not necessarily aware of what's going on around them. And that's what we're seeing now. The Riverfront Project is going to be one of the coolest things that we've done in conjunction with State Street, in conjunction with what's going on in the city of Lafayette. And if you look at the research, if you look at the data, if you look at other communities that have been fortunate enough to be able to have these kind of projects, it changes the dynamic and the personality of your communities completely. I do not think that this is going to be a magnet for crime and criminals. I do not think that this is going to create more opportunities for people who are not from this area to come here to commit more crimes any more than they would do at any time. The unfortunate reality is that a lot of people who are in situations where they're desperate, they act inappropriately wherever they are.
We've got just about 15 minutes left with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis on today's Ask the Mayor program here on WBAA. Call in your questions, 765-496-1999 is our telephone number. You can email those questions to ask@wbaa.org and tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter as well. Courtney has written in that asking, Chauncey and The Landing are two areas people see first when they come to Purdue and West Lafayette, but both have empty storefronts that serve as eyesores, she says. Are there plans to encourage new successful shops, perhaps partnering with organizations like the Purdue Foundry to help young businessmen and women evaluate their business plans before undertaking a new venture?
Absolutely. We have a development department where our director of development's a guy by the name of Chandler Poole, and he aggressively markets our community all around the country. He recently just got back from Milwaukee where he's talking to some folks up there. But the fact of the matter is that it's a partnership. We have to partner with the owners of the property. We have to partner with the owners of the storefront. We have to make sure that the rental rates are affordable. And those are areas that we don't have a great deal of influence in. We feel that particular gateway into our community is one that's really going to change when we get the State Street project underway, actually when it's completed. And one of our focal points is to give us more of a cityscape so that when you do come into West Lafayette, that it looks more urban than it does right now. There's a hotel that's going up right on the tip of Tapawingo and State Street that's going to really change that dynamic to go along with that. But we have often worked, when we work with folks from the Research Park, we work with some of our student organizations, we always encourage their reinvestment in the community as well. But that office space, it's generally privately owned, and we can incentivize, but we can't mandate.
Thank you for telling me that thing was a hotel. I've driven by it for weeks going, I can't believe I don't know what this is.
No, it's actually going to be the House of Stan.
we just had a caller call in wanting to follow up on the earlier question about some of those break-ins. A member, someone from the international community here in West Lafayette works for the ESL department here at Purdue, wants you to follow up on whether people committing those break-ins have been caught, because she says there are members of the international community especially who are concerned about that.
I don't know. I know that some of the break-ins in the apartments that were actually out in the county out towards the north of the community. I know that they're aggressively investigating it, but I do not know if they've had any arrests made yet.
All right. You mentioned the State Street Project a couple of times, and I had some questions for you about that. The City Council is set to vote next week on an ordinance that would allow you to float bonds for State Street. And what interested me is the value of those, as much as $78 million, according to the paperwork that was put out. And that was interesting to me because the city and the university are working together on this thing. It's been advertised as this 50-50 partnership between the city and Purdue. So $78 million is in the ballpark of the amount of money people have said this whole thing could cost. Are you then potentially on the hook as the city for the $78 million?
Nope. Generally, what we do is we try and get the bonding capacity. So that's almost like if you need to go further into the well, then you can do that. But the fact of the matter is that the way the agreement's structured, Purdue is going to be putting their money in through investments on the Western TIF, that TIF that's now the Aerospace Tech Park and that area. That's how that's what they're going to use to offset their expenditures. So the agreement's still 50-50. You know, Purdue is empowering us to utilize their resources to be able to get this project underway and actually completed. And that was the whole purpose of the that was the whole purpose of the partnership, in order to be able to get this thing done quickly and more financially efficiently.
So one of the things I was thinking about, and it occurred to me I had not asked you, was Purdue would seem to have, through Purdue Research Foundation and other entities, much more cash on hand that it could put in up front to kickstart such a thing. And then you guys would potentially either pay them back and make them whole, or you would catch up at some point because the city budget is smaller than the Purdue budget, frankly.
Yes, it is.
Is that what's happening in some ways?
In some degree, that's happening, yes. And remember, Purdue is not unlike any other big corporation. There is a lot of different silos for their revenue. And the presumption always is that something has that Purdue brand on it, then it's all basically in one big pot. But that's not the case. There's a Purdue business. There's a Purdue academic side. There's a Purdue research side. And all these different revenue streams don't necessarily have the same flexibility of expenditure as some of the other ones do. So Purdue is a multi-billion dollar entity, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all that money is available for capital investment.
So this $78 million number, you said you're taking out this as a buffer. You know, if we need as much as $78 million, here are the bonds that could pay for such a thing. So if you assume that that's the amount that you guys would be using, that's a fair amount larger than what I think you guys expect to spend on this,
well,
right?
We are still doing everything we can to hold that bottom line to $60 million. You know, in all the meetings that we've had, it's $60 million, $60 million, $60 million, because that's what we're comfortable with. And basically that's what allows us, you know, when it comes to looking about how we're going to continue to be fiscally solvent, that's the number that empowers us to do so.
And we should also say there's another document that shows the city doing $60 million of debt service between now and 2040, and it evens out right at exactly that $60 million level.
Yeah, yeah. And that's our investment in this project. And then through the partnership with Purdue, that's what assists us with that as well. So that number is a rock number for us. I mean, that's where we are and that's where we stay.
Does that mean that the project is going to cost closer to $120 million in total?
It's hard to say right now. We are ready. We're putting the cart way before the horse. The point of what we're trying to do is we're trying to get this project done. The whole purpose of the partnership was to have a transformative project that starts right at the river on the west side and goes all the way up to New 231. And the revenues and the partnerships that have been developed because of the conversations that we've had haven't really changed that much since its inception. The biggest challenge that we have right now is getting we have been going through the process now of meeting with the individual business owners, trying to meet with the groups that are going to be most impacted by this project. That's where we're focusing a lot of our resources on right now.
Let me ask you about the business owners, because there are in these documents as well a number of TIF districts, tax increment financing districts, that are being talked about as well in terms of helping to generate some more revenue. And when you've got a TIF district, what you're thinking about is kind of getting some investment in now, getting those up to speed, and hoping to recoup your investment over some amount of time. Have you begun to talk to additional investors who will come and be a part of the TIF district outside of what you just talked about with Purdue?
It's the best way to put it is that people understand how beneficial it would be to invest in the Western TIF, in the TIF districts that we're creating because of this project. When you look at developable areas, the one on the West End couldn't be any better than what it is right now. You got a lot of land, you've got a rail spur, you've got an airport, and you've got a highway, and then you've got a population base that's very dense. I mean, it's a very densely populated area. That is pretty much what you're looking for. And then some of the unique businesses like a Rolls-Royce or anything at that level, we've got a world-renowned research institution that basically, you know, before you can even start smudging the ink on their degrees, they could come to work for you and really contribute to your business. So it's very marketable, very marketable. And we are really fortunate to have this sort of, you know, perfect storm of opportunities here.
Well, it sounds like you're also fairly heavily reliant, though, on the Purdue name and the Purdue brand mm-hmm. to bring in the likes of Rolls-Royce.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say reliant. I'd say that it pretty much speaks for itself. You know, Purdue is a brand that is recognized around the world. And so when they do realize what the opportunities are here, they knock.
So back to the original question. Do you have any companies that are lined up who say, we want to take advantage of these TIF districts?
The best, obviously, I'm kind of dodging because a lot of that stuff.
Obviously, that's why I'm asking you again.
Well, you know, and I'll keep on dodging, Stan. I'm good at that. I'm an elected guy. Come on, give me a break. But the fact of the matter is just, I think suffice it to say that the interest is high and we are very optimistic.
Are you having conversations with people?
I'm having one with you right now, sir.
Not having conversations with potential investors, which
every
I certainly
day.
Am
every,
not.
No, near to every day. Every day we get calls. We get people who are curious. Our development department is very active in making sure that people are aware of what opportunities are out here. And we are basically all looking forward to a very fruitful holiday season.
We've got a few more minutes with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis.
You just love badgering me, don't you?
That's my job.
That's what you do.
A few more minutes with John Dennis on Ask the Mayor today here on WBAA. Send your questions to ask@WBAA.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. There's also a resolution authorizing the city attorney to use eminent domain, if necessary, to try to buy up some of the land if you might need it.
There you go.
Do you actually expect to exercise that power?
Not necessarily. And actually, the condemnation issue is a lot more dicey sounding or when you read it than it is in all actuality. What we're looking at doing is when we're going up State Street, there's a lot of curb cuts. There's a lot of sidewalks and things that need to be done. And we just need to make sure that we're in a position to be able to do it without going through a court process on each individual parcel. So it's kind of a blanket authority for us to go ahead and continue with those negotiations and that dialogue to make sure that we can get the project done without a bunch of different hurdles to have to go through.
And have you begun talking to the business owners who might be affected by those sorts of things?
Yeah, we actually held meetings with everybody who would be impacted on the entire State Street corridor, all the businesses from the river all the way up to Grant Street, I believe.
Well, I mean, specifically the ones who you might need to say, we need some of your land, please.
Well, yeah, because generally speaking, when they've looked at some of the elevations of the project, they're looking and saying, wait a second, that's where our sidewalk goes. That's where we put a brand new planter. That's how people get in and out of my business. Or the other side is when you're doing this, nobody can access my business. What do? So we have had individual, very small group meetings with each one of these folks and sort of in the collaborative based upon their geographic location to let them know this is how the project's going to go. This is what we can do to help you. And then some of the business owners have actually looked at this as an opportunity. They're looking at doing something like a Where's Waldo concept about how to get to their business or having T-shirts that have maps that tell folks how to navigate to get to their business. So it's going to be interesting. It could be a lot of fun, but there's also going to be a lot of pain.
Well, I was going to ask you about the other side, which is, are there any business owners who say, well, then you're going to pry this land from my cold, dead hands with your eminent domain?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We have, well, I mean, anytime you're talking about somebody's stuff, you're going to get into that kind of a conflict. You know, the age-old, you know, government's taking over my life type thing always rears its ugly head when you're looking at development and you're looking at people's personal property. And this is no exception. But we have tried to be as crystal clear as we possibly can that we want to keep everybody whole. We want to make sure that this project is minimally invasive as possible, but it's huge, so it's going to be invasive. And also that whatever we can do as a city and also in partnership with Purdue to keep them in business and to keep people at their door, we're going to do.
Is there going to need to be a meeting of the minds or a winning of hearts and minds to get more people to make those Where's Waldo style t-shirts?
Where do you get these battle cliches?
It is a bit of a battle.
Well, no, you're really... accidentally we came up with a pretty good...
Eminent domain is sort of, by its nature, a combative process.
Absolutely. And it's one of those because we said so things, and nobody accepts that as an explanation ever. But no, the whole point of it is that we do this cooperatively. And I think if anybody looks at what we've done over the past 8 years, you know, doing things cooperatively, making sure that people are aware and informed is how we roll. And we're going to continue to do so with the State Street Project.
Now, is it that you're going to be potentially using the eminent domain to give what would be fair market value, or are you already talking to people also and saying, we would like to pay you for some portion of the land that you've got so that the city can own it? Have you begun to enter into those sorts of discussions?
We got to be real careful because technically it's not our money. I mean, when you're spending tax dollars is a little different than spending profits. So we try to do the best as we can. We try and get as many fair appraisals as we can. And then we go in combination with conversations with the business owner. We try and do what's best and what's right.
In our last couple of minutes here, let me do with you like what I like to do at the end of the year on these shows, which is we're coming up to the holidays. This is the last show we'll have before the new year begins with you. So what's your resolution for 2016 in terms of your job? You're entering your next term. Mm-hmm. What is your New Year's resolution?
Well, to make the transition from a Class 3 to a Class 2 city as smoothly as possible, there are so many changes, so many different things that are going on. And I know that on the outside, it doesn't look very insurmountable, but on the inside, there's just a ton of stuff, ton of tweaks and readjustments that we have to make. But generally speaking, and I don't want to get Pollyanna-esque here, I've lived in this community all my life, and there's nobody who loves West Lafayette more than I do. And I feel really proud of what we have been able to do over the past 8 years. And I am really fortunate. I got a great staff. My folks know exactly what they're doing, and they do it very well. And my hope for the new year is that level of understanding that we are public servants. This isn't the John Show. This isn't the police show. This isn't anything like that. We are public servants. We understand that, and we take pride in that. And I want that philosophy to continue. Secondly, I want to make sure that the citizens of West Lafayette still feel confident in their local government.
One last thing. We haven't had to talk much about this yet because it hasn't been an issue. How are you on things like salt and beet juice and trying to get ready to fight the snow and ice we know we will get at some point?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we had a staff meeting yesterday, and that was the first thing I asked our street commissioner, Doug Payne. Hey, we got plenty of salt and beet juice. And he said, we're good. So I guess in street commissioneries, that means that we're going to be fine.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, happy holidays to you.
Same to you, Stan.
Thanks for being with us, as
My
always.
Pleasure.
And we'll do it again in the new year.
You know it, buddy.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Reminder, you can find all of these shows archived at our website, WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.